Boeing's Dreamliner program gets a new manager. The FAA has shut down AMI Jet Charter, and the NATA is angry. And EADS announces a delay in another aircraft development program. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 17, 2007. Boeing's popular but delayed 787 Dreamliner program is getting a new general manager. Boeing Commercial Airplanes President and CEO Scott Carson has named Pat Shanahan Vice President and GM of the program, effective immediately. Shanahan moves over from his role as VP of Missile Defense Systems at Boeing Integrated Defense and succeeds Mike Baer, who will become Vice President of Business Strategy and Marketing for Commercial Airplanes. Both changes are effective immediately. Carson referred in his announcement of the change to Shanahan's proven track record, having led both the 757 and 767-400ER programs before moving to Integrated Defense Systems in 2002. Quote, he knows how to deliver results, understands our customers and their requirements, and has the leadership skills to get the job done, unquote. Up until now, Baer has been responsible for all aspects of the 787 program since its launch in 2004. The 787 has enjoyed the most successful launch of any airplane program in the history of commercial aviation, with 710 orders on the books from 50 different airlines. The revocation of AMI Jet Charter's Part 135 operating certificate by the Federal Aviation Administration has drawn an angry response from Jim Coyne, president of the National Air Transportation Association. In a letter to NATA members, Coyne says NATA has worked very closely with FAA safety officials since operational control concerns arose in the wake of the Challenger 604 accident at Teterboro Airport in February of 2005. Quote, sadly, while we believe officials within the FAA's safety office have been forthright and willing to work with AMI, a select few attorneys at the agency have taken it upon themselves to act to suspend and now revoke AMI's certificate despite evidence of AMI's efforts to ensure compliance with the FAA's frequently changing standards. These attorneys have essentially derailed the operations of one of the biggest and best Part 135 certificate holders in the country for reasons other than safety. NATA believes that this action against AMI is driven more by arrogance and a failure to understand how Part 135 is different from Part 121 than by true concerns about the safety of operations conducted on AMI aircraft. Rest assured, NATA will remain on top of this issue in order to protect our members' interests and ensure that any further actions taken by the FAA are appropriate and justifiable, unquote. AMI is based in Burlingame, California, and had its certificate suspended by the FAA October 4th. In its official response, the company had said the suspension was, quote, pending demonstration that it has a fully compliant operational control system. AMIJC replied that with cooperation from the FAA, the company can take action to respond effectively to the agency's concerns and resume full operations, unquote. Well, evidently not. AMI Jet Charter had an enviable safety record and held the platinum rating of the Aviation Research Group, an independent rating agency. Ed Bolin, president of the National Business Aviation Association, called the revocation a wake-up call. Quote, this significant action was taken against a company that is among the most highly regarded charter providers in the country. NBAA urges the charter members within our association to take note of the FAA's recent action and ensure that their operational control practices are in order, unquote. Airbus corporate parent EADS appears near an announcement of delays in another development program, this time for the A400M military transport. European media sources have been reporting that EPI, an engine consortium including Rolls-Royce and companies from France, Germany, and Italy, was behind in work on the TPM-400 turboprop engine, which will power the A400M. EADS has reportedly budgeted €352 million, or about $500,000 U.S., for costs related to delays. The company recently acknowledged that assembly of the first plane had slipped from this year's first quarter to August, and the first flight into sometime in the middle of next year. When life hands you lemons, emerge from Chapter 11 on afterburners. Delta Airlines has announced that the third quarter produced pre-tax income of $363 million on $5.2 billion in operating revenue. That's the highest quarterly revenue number in the company's history. Delta also paid down $1 billion in debt during the third quarter alone. And the 2007 profit-sharing kitty, which will be distributed to employees, now stands at $160 million. But more lemons are likely on the way. Delta's going to have to eventually enter contract renewal talks with its unions, which historically are unimpressed with big corporate profits. Up next on ANN, the NTSB issues recommendations following an overrun accident in Chicago. Eclipse's Vern Rayburn says no way to rumors about Columbia. And China wants to be our partner in space. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 17th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. In an apparent follow-up to the lessons learned in a fatal Midway Airport overrun of an icy runway, the NTSB has recommended that the FAA require all Part 121 and 135 operators to ensure that all onboard electronic computing devices they use automatically and clearly display critical performance calculation assumptions. The board also wants operators to provide clear guidance and training to pilots and dispatchers regarding company policy on surface condition and braking action reports, and the assumptions affecting landing distance and stopping margin calculations, including the use of airplane ground deceleration devices, wind conditions and limits, air distance, and safety margins. NTSB says the non-flying pilot should be required to check and confirm thrust reverser status immediately after touchdown on all landings. There are several other recommendations as well. You can read them all in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. What this is all about: in December 2005, Southwest Flight 1248 overran an icy runway at Chicago's Midway Airport, continued on through two fences, and struck a car on a nearby road before coming to a stop. 18 people on the plane were injured, a child in the car suffered fatal injuries, and three other adults on the ground were injured. NTSB found, among other factors, that the pilots did not have enough information to understand that the runway minimums on which they were basing their performance assumptions were based on the use of thrust reversers. Among the more out-there rumors about what will become of the assets of Columbia Aircraft was a hint that Eclipse Aviation might become a bidder. During a recent chat with ANN, Eclipse Aviation President Vern Rayburn made it clear that there is, quote, no way in the world, unquote, that his company will enter that fray. Rayburn notes that he has a full plate. Nearly 20 Eclipse 500 very light jets are complete. The 2007 total should be around 100. Avio NG certification is proceeding and may see approval within a month. And in short, nobody in Albuquerque is suffering from boredom just now. In today's Aero News special feature, we'll start a two-part look at the Columbia drama from a guy with an inside perspective and a reputation for candor. More on that coming up. A Chinese government official has stated publicly that China would like to become a partner in the International Space Station. The Associated Press reported the comment from Vice Minister of Science and Technology Li Shui-Wang as China prepares to launch its own lunar probe, a few weeks after rival Japan did the same. Quote, "We hope to take part in activities related to the International Space Station. If I am not mistaken, this program has 16 countries currently involved. We hope to be the 17th partner," unquote. China has made clear its intent to accelerate technological development and became only the third nation to launch a manned space mission in 2003. But China's only first in space, testing a missile by destroying one of its own obsolete satellites in orbit, scattering debris for the rest of the world to deal with, has left the space community on edge. The new space race between China and Japan is set to be joined by India, which says it will launch a lunar probe next year. The Times of London reports Britain's Air Accidents Investigation Branch is investigating a runway collision at Heathrow Airport Monday night. A Sri Lankan Airbus A340 was taxiing when it brushed wings with a British Airways Boeing 747. Passengers were deplaned and put up in hotels for the night. British Airways confirmed that passengers would continue their trips on different aircraft, even though the damage was thought to be minimal. Still ahead, Liberty Aerospace taps deep pockets for expansion money. The Mars rovers get still another mission extension. And it came out of the sky. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 17, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Liberty Aerospace, which manufactures the Liberty XL2, tells ANN it has closed a major debt financing which will allow expansion of production capacity to meet growing U.S. and international demand for the Liberty XL2 aircraft. The financing was arranged by Kuwait Finance House in Bahrain, which manages Liberty's major shareholder, Furnace Europe SLF. Liberty's Keith Markley commented, quote, "With the global market rapidly expanding and the ease in which the XL2 is exportable, Liberty will become the premier two-seater all-purpose aircraft worldwide. I would like to further acknowledge and thank our dedicated and talented workforce for maintaining the highest quality and safety standards in the industry today." Unquote. Kuwait Finance House is a leading Islamic commercial and investment banking services provider, in business over 30 years, with total assets of over $21 billion U.S. NASA says it's extending the missions of the Mars rovers Opportunity and Spirit for a fifth time. The rovers, which were designed with a life expectancy of 90 days, have stood up to harsh Martian conditions for 45 months and counting. In September, Opportunity began descending into Victoria Crater in Mars Meridiani Planum region. Spirit, meanwhile, climbed onto a volcanic plateau in a range of hills that were on the distant horizon from its original landing site. To date, Spirit has driven about 4.5 miles and returned more than 102,000 images. Opportunity has driven over 7 miles and returned more than 94,000 photos. Scientists are excited that the rovers continue to perform so well, but even their failings have provided exploration opportunities. When Spirit had a wheel bearing fail in March and started dragging one of its front wheels when it moved, the resulting scratch in the surface of Mars exposed bright-colored mineral deposits believed to be evidence of ancient water flows or gas vents. UFO watchers have a new topic for their internet forum. The FAA has ruled that a 16-inch-long piece of metal which fell from the sky in Delaware on Monday is not part of an airplane. The object landed with enough force to blow right through the roof of an SUV and was hot enough to still be smoldering when firefighters arrived. Nobody was injured. Photos from the scene show a metal object that looks a little bit like a piece of construction rebar bent into the shape of the Greek letter Omega. A witness told the police the impact on the SUV sounded like an explosion. Could it be a piece of space junk which re-entered after its orbit decayed? Or is it a cotter pin from a huge alien spacecraft? The FAA will investigate and they'll let us know. Finally, the AP reports the arrest of 18 airline employees at John F. Kennedy International Airport Tuesday in what authorities say was the U.S. end of a drug smuggling operation. Prosecutors say airport workers in the Dominican Republic would place drugs in bags bound for New York, and baggage handlers at JFK would retrieve the drugs and whisk them away to a safe area before the bags could be inspected. AP reports the drugs included heroin and cocaine, and the 18 people arrested included 7 employees of Delta and 1 worker for American Airlines. The airlines are losing more bags this year than ever before, and they have lots of excuses when it happens. I'm guessing they won't use this new excuse. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Rich Belzer, who until March of this year was Columbia Aircraft's VP for sales. Now, he's one of the unsecured creditors waiting to see how Columbia's bankruptcy plays out. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.